Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's editorials with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now Dana, no doubt that the first half of this year has been very volatile, a big washout, and then this almost surprise recovery for the markets that continues to, in all fairness, hang in there. It has been in bit of a short-term downtrend, but looking at the broad averages, I don't think it gives a clear picture of the breadth or the participation in these markets. Something I've been talking about for the last couple of weeks is the fact that the S&P 500, out of those 500 stocks, it's really been led by the top five stocks, but there's just been that much money and that much positive momentum in those stocks that it has carried the averages, the broad averages, higher. When it comes to analyzing some of these winning sectors and outperforming sectors, what are you doing right now? How are you playing this very selective market?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. First of all, the S&P, I think it was maybe down about 3% for the first half of the year. So, I mean, I don't see the big deal. It was a boring start to the year, right?
Yeah, real boring.
Obviously, belie a historic crash and even more historic rebound, perhaps. But to your point, our investment approach is two-pronged. First, we decide if the risk is justified for significant investment in the market, and if it is, the second part is, you know, what investment selection. Where do we want to be invested? And we don't take the broad diversification asset allocation approach. What we want to do is kind of concentrate our portfolio in those areas that are performing best, and by our models, our predicted to continue to outperform over the next over the intermediate term, you know, the next 2 to 6 months or more. So what we try to do is, you know, concentrate on our portfolios in those areas that are in uptrend. And the one thing that has remained pretty steady, even despite the mid-half crash, is that those winners, many of the winners that have been winning for the last year or a couple of years, continue to be winners. So areas like technology and healthcare, biotech. Our philosophy is, don't fight the tape, stick with the winners, and continue to buy the dips in those winners. And so that's what we've been doing. And you can add gold miners to the mix, as many of your listeners might be interested in. And on the flip side, you know, you want to stay away from the stuff that's lagging, as it's just going to pretty much dilute your performance at best, and might even hurt your performance or produce losses. So we are also in on that point right now. We do see enough of those lagging areas that tried to play catch up there at the end of May, back in a downtrend, and we are back to taking some selective shots on the short side in those lagging areas. So long story short, sticking with the winners on the upside, and staying away from those lagging areas, and even taking some short shots on the downside.
So when it comes to these winning sectors, there's no doubt you look at any of the ETFs or broad stocks in those sectors, biotech, tech, healthcare, gold miners, they continue to just grind and climb higher, almost in a stair-stepping pattern for some of these. What would it take, in kind of a broad sense, for that narrative of these leaders continuing to move higher? What would it take to change your opinion?
Well, it would be two things. First off, from a relative strength perspective, if they started you started to see the charts fall off in those areas, you started to see a loss in relative strength leadership and break down some through some key technical levels, then obviously we would reassess our the attractiveness of those sectors and see if there's better sectors to be in of that. On the other hand, there's from a broad market perspective, you know, the first tenet of our investment approach again is the overall risk setup in the market is the overall risk dynamic suitable for a lot of investment. And when we get to the point where, you know, we see most of the, especially most of the broad breadth measures starting to head down again, indicating that the broad market, the majority of stocks are headed down, that's going to signify a significant shift in the wind. So we're going to be in the headwind then. And since about 70-80% of the cause of the direction of a stock is based on the direction of the overall market, that a shift down in the overall market would certainly have us at least paring back on some of our positions, even in those strong performing sectors. We might not dump the whole position, but we'll trim it if we're going to if we detect that the risk of a broad sell-off is indeed at hand. Then we're going to be fighting the wind or fighting upstream, even with some of those stronger positions.
So, Dana, we look at something like the S&P. So just at the earlier part of June, it reached a level of 32.33 and has been in a short-term downtrend. I think you can also make the argument that it is simply within a trading range. It's also holding above some of the key short-term moving averages. What would a breakdown in the market, in the S&P, look like to you? Would it be a solid move below 2,900, or are we talking down in the almost 2750 range?
Well, we don't have any position in the S&P 500. If you're looking for a technical breakdown in the S&P, I would say the initial support is right around, just under, right about where we stopped maybe 3 weeks ago, down near that 2980-ish level. If we break down through there, then we're probably in the low 2800 range. But we don't have a position on the S&P 500. So as far as a breakdown there, wouldn't really affect what our overall trading portfolio is. I would, like we've talked about in the past, our focus in terms of the broad market is more on an index like the Value Line Geometric Composite, which tracks the median stock in the stock market. And that one is a little bit more precarious, as well as a little bit more clear cut in terms of a breakdown. Now, it just in this recent sell-off into towards the end of last week, held above support around the 420-425 level. It's got to really hold that level if it wants to avoid, you know, the potential for another collapse. So for now, I would say the broad market is more or less safe, but it's not too far away from testing those levels again. And I think, like the last time we spoke, it did top out in the beginning of June, right where it should have. So in terms of its recovery from the crash in the first quarter of the year, it hasn't really negated that. In other words, it's kept that bear market scenario on the table and keeps this the notion of this rally, this post-March rally, as a mere bear market rally on the table too. So I will note also that I was looking at the first half performance on many of these indices, and like I said, the S&P, I think it was maybe down a couple percent. If you look at the Value Line again, which measures the median stock in the market, oh, it's down exactly 20% for the first half of the year. So while, you know, as you mentioned, a lot of those mega caps, a lot of the popular averages did recover most of their, if not all of their crash, it's not necessarily the case for the overall broad market. We're down, again, the median stock of the market is down 20% from the start of the year still, despite the big rally since March.
Wow, yeah, that's crazy. And I think we all are starting to really understand here that the breadth is weak, and it really is just a few stocks that are helping to support this so-called market recovery. You mentioned, though, the way that that value line index is setting up, that you even use the word crash. Does that mean that we could be in for another event, much like we saw in March, that was just a consistent day after day, pretty aggressive fall?
Well, I mean, if this is indeed a bear market, which we think the possibility still exists, then we could get another, you know, that next wave down, that C wave, which in many of the in the broad market, including the value line, and as well as many of those lagging areas of the market that we talked about, including financials and energy, real estate, looking at European equities as well, we could certainly still get that retest or even a lower low below those March levels. So I would not say that that's off the table. So from that perspective, yeah, we could get another, shall I say steep sell-off. I don't know that, I would necessarily say we're going to get another crash, but certainly we could, if we're going to be testing those levels, it would certainly be a very painful sell-off, even if some of those, relative strength leaders, hold up much better. Certainly they would get clipped in that scenario as well.
Okay. Hey, Dana, we'll wrap it up there. Some, I think, good comments, just trying to take into context what is driving these markets. And again, it's one of these markets where right now you don't want to get too cute. You don't want to be out there trying to pick absolute tops or absolute bottoms, because the whole strategy of riding the sectors that have been outperforming, it's been working well. So maybe keep on booking some of those gains, but make sure that you're not totally out of those sectors thinking that they're going to turn around drastically, because there's a lot of money and that money is continuing to chase these leading sectors. Dana, thanks for your time today. I will post a link below to your website as well as where people can follow you on Twitter. Thanks for your time today, Dana.
Sounds good. Always a pleasure, Corey.